Okay, Boker Tov. Good morning. We left off on the bottom of Kaf Zayin Amud Bet 27b at the Mishnah. Today's daf is daf 28. Today's class will be for the Refuah Shalom Amud Chonim Bichlalam Chemdam Achav Achanim Shana Man Chanukah Menifkas Alam Anuim Shalom Sarad David Menachel Ifah Badevar Ifah Badechol Ifah Badaser Shalom Sarifan Menam Shavu Chana Ifah Badimriam Yevadam Ifah Chavisim Ifah Badchana Simchah Ben Matam Ramad Menachel Zimna Machana Alam Adam Ifas Alam Adam Sarad Gemur Gemur Menachel Dan ben Esther tzchumun adar kadam adar shemun adar ben adar kadam adar shemun adar shemun shemun penina Yosef ben Yafan danim ben Yafan shemun adar kadam adar 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 The Mishnah begins. Nodrin laharyagin, laharamin, ulamuchasin. If let's say you have somebody who is going to, he wants to go and murder because somebody owes him money per se. Okay, so the way Mefarish explains it, shehu horeg al iske mamon, shimba lahorgo. If somebody comes now to murder the person, what can he do? So the Mishnah says, Shehi teruma, afal pi sheino teruma. You can say, you can make a neder saying that these fruits are teruma, even though they're not teruma. There's a groups of people who are crazy that they would be willing to kill for money that is chayav to them, that they're owed, but they keep the Torah and mitzvot. They would keep the rest of the Torah. So if you tell them that this is teruma and they're not a kohen, they're not going to eat it. They're not going to take it, right? So a person can do, somebody's going to kill them for this money, for these fruits. You can take a neder saying that those fruits are terumah, even though they're not terumah. And the neder doesn't really count, it's just in order to scare them out. That's case number one. Case number two, the charamin. Charamin are people who, the way the Mefarish explains it, they are robbers who are not necessarily coming to kill. They're just coming to take. And so you can do that towards them as well. Ulamukhasin. And for tax collectors, right? If a person is sent by the king to come and collect the king's tax, so a person can do this to avoid paying that tax. So the Gemara says, and the Mishnah says, and you can also say, Shehen shel beit ha-melech, these fruits, these foods are from the house of the king. Afal b'she'inan shel beit ha-melech, even though they do not belong to the king's house, because you're just, the whole point of it is just to scare someone away. A person in a situation where he's similar to honest, that he has, you know, there's nothing he can do, he's trying to save his own property in order to scare the person away. Okay? And the Mishnah then continues and says, Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai says, so over here it's not necessarily talking about somebody who owes money. It could be just necessarily talking about somebody, I mean, more commonly what it's really talking about, somebody's coming just to steal. Someone is coming to steal. You can take a neder saying that these fruits are truma to avoid having those people steal from you, if they would keep that aspect of the halakha. Beit Shammai Omrim then, Beit Shammai says, Bechol Nodrin, you're allowed, with all types of vows, one is allowed to take a neder in order to, you know, false assert the person who's trying to steal from him. Chutz mi b'shevua, except with an oath. You're not allowed to do it with a shevua. A shevua, why? Why not a shevua? Oh, you saw the Ran? Beautiful. Very good. So the Ran says, because the Shavua is stricter than a neder, because Shavua, it says in the Torah, lo yinake. Person will not be clean from that sin. It's a very, very chamor sin. Ubeit Hillel omrim, Beit Hillel says, af b'shavua, you're even allowed to do it with a swear. Beit Shammai omrim, Beit Shammai says, lo yiftach lo b'neder. You should not open it up with a neder, meaning, if these robbers are coming towards you, don't open it up and say, that these items will be truma, meaning you're giving him your don't initiate the offer to the person who's coming to steal from you to prove that these are truma. Rather, you should wait for a situation where, meaning he initiates, and then Beit Shammai Omrim, and Beit Shammai says, Beit Hillel Omrim af yiftachlo. You're even allowed to open up and initiate the fruits being noder b'truma. Meaning, you're allowed to initiate the conversation of them being truma. We're going to see what that means, and it's going to bring an example. And then the Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Omrim, Beit Shammai says, B'mashehu madiro, only the item that has been taken the neder against, right? If let's say the person tells you, take a neder against this, and you take a neder against this and more. The robber comes and says, take a neder against this, and you take a neder against this and more. So only this is permitted, because that was a false assumption. Whereas the more that you added is not, and we're going to see an example in the Gemara that's more clear. Whereas the Mishnah, sorry, the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to explain it. The Mishnah is going to explain it. And then Ubeitilal Omrim, Af Bemasha Eno Madiro, even is included in the honest aspect of this, is what a person did not, the robber did not tell him to make a nether for, and he adds that into the nether. What does this mean? So the Mishnah says, Ketzat, how is this so? Amar lo, if let's say the robber tells him, Emor konam ishin henetli, if let's say he tells the guy, the robber tells him, take a nether that your wife can't benefit from you if these fruits are actually teruma. He's trying to convince the guy to see if it's really teruma or not. So ve amar, and the guy said, konam ishti ubanai nehaninli, and he says a nether that his wife and his sons can't benefit from him. So Beit Shammai Amrin, Beit Shammai says, ishto muteret ubanav asurin. Beit Shammai says, his wife is permitted to him, and the sons are asur to him, because he added in sons, that wasn't asked. Beit Hillel Amrin, Beit Hillel says, elu ve'elu mutarin. No, both of them are permitted.
Kedar koshal Beit Hillel. Probably wanted him to believe that it's for real. In other words, he wanted to come and tell him my children.
But since he added the children, that's not what the robber told him to think, then Beit Shammai says that's no good. Okay, we want to ask a very common question. V'ha'amar Shemuel, Shemuel says, Dina de Malchuta Dina. That we know that the law, the regular law is, not necessarily the Jewish law, but even the non-Jewish law is, a person, as long as it doesn't go against the halakha, person has to upkeep the law. Exactly, the law of the land. Person has to upkeep that. He can't go against the law. So how over here, in this case, can we say that this is considered nidre onasin, a neder onasin? He's literally lying to the people coming to take from him. Let's say the tax collector, for example. The tax collector is coming to collect the tax from him. He's lying to him in order to avoid the tax. How can he do that? Right? Or what many people do today, how can you avoid paying taxes? That's not exactly the same, but it's similar. Amarav chinena, amarav kahana, amar shmuel, bimoches she'en lo kitzva. No, it's talking about over here a tax collector that does not have a set limit. Meaning, he's coming, the way the Mefarish explains it, and he collects whatever he wants. He wasn't told how much to collect, so he comes and takes whatever he wants. I'm saying, therefore, in that case, then why should I pay him? He's coming to take more than what he's deserved.
Exactly. You're allowed to come and,
no, this is Mafia Bazi. Devei Rabbi Anai Amar, he says, Bimoches ha'omed me'elav, a tax collector who comes on his own. He wasn't commanded by the king, he comes on his own to collect. That person also, you can lie and get out of it by making this neder or nasin. It's talking about those types of cases. Then we said, you can say, Shehen shel beit ha-melech alf v'sheinan shel beit ha-melech. You can say it's from the king's house, even though it's not from the king's house. So the Gemara says, Hechi nadar, how do you make such a neder? Amarav Amram Amarav, Be'omer ye'aseru perot ha'olam alai, im enan shel beit ha-melech. He says, the fruits of the world should become forbidden to me if they are not from the house of the king. So the Gemara says, Kivan da'amar ye'aseru, itzaru alai kol pirei alma. Once he said, ye'aseru, that they should become permitted, forbidden, all of the fruits should be in the world should become forbidden to him. How is this considered a neder that is on nasin, that he's annulling? He said the word yaseru. So the Gemara says, meaning there's no aspect of ha'arama that he added in here. If he would have tried to add in a word over there to try to make it seem that he's not really taking a neder, then okay, fine. But he just said, the fruits should all be asur to me. So they should all be asur. So the Gemara says, be'omer hayom. No, he said, the fruits should all be asur to me today, if these are not from the house of the king. Meaning, only today. So you can play this game of ha'arama, trying to trick them, and say only today, without actually even saying the whole phrase. So the Gemara says, Ida amar hayom, if he said today, lo mikabel minei moches. The tax collector is not stupid. He's going to understand that you're saying only today. He's not going to accept that. So the Gemara says, be'omer bilibo hayom. No, he didn't say it out loud. He only said it in his mind, in his heart. He said today in his mind. And he just generally speaks. He said these fruits should be asur to him. But while he was saying that, he was thinking that it's only today.
It was a kabbalah.
Okay, but then the Gemara asks,
you can just think that it's all
shtiyot. Even though we really generally hold that things that a person just thinks and he doesn't say, they don't actually count. When it comes to a case of onus, that a person doesn't have, it's unexpectedness, that a person's coming to steal from him, rob him, so on and so forth, in those cases we would say, dvarim shebalev are dvarim. Those things in the heart, in your mind, do count. Then we say in the Mishnah, Beit Shammai Amrim, Bechol Nederim, you can make a neder in all these cases, for all of these cases, except for with the Shavua. Beit Shammai Amrim, b'mashu madiro, only the item that the person makes you make a neder on. Ubeit Hillel Amrim, af b'sha'ino madiro, even the item that is not made you make a neder on. How do we say that? We said, ketzad. Amar lo konami shine nedli. If he said neder from his wife, not to benefit from him, ve'amar, and the guy said, konam ishti ubanai nehenili, he says, my wife and my sons, Beit Shammai Amrim, Beit Shammai says, we said this in the Mishnah, ishto muteret, ubanav asurin, the wife is permitted, and the sons are forbidden to benefit, because he added them. Beit Hillel Amrim, Beit Hillel says, elu ve'elu utarin, Beit Hillel says, no, they're both considered permitted. So now the Gemara says, amar afuna, tana, Beit Shammai Amrim, we have a beraita. The Beit Shammai says, "Lo yiftach lo b'shuva." You should not open up, initiate the guy who's being robbed with a shivua. We said earlier, Beit Shammai says in the Mishnah not to open up with a neder. Now he's saying with a shivua. Beit Hillel says, "Af yiftach lo b'shuva." He can even initiate with a shivua. So the Gemara says, "The Beit Shammai, according to Beit Shammai, b'shuva hu de lo yiftach lo ha b'neder yiftach lo." What? According to Beit Shammai, only a Shavua, the guy's being robbed, he shouldn't initiate. But a neder, he can initiate? Saying that it's Truma? But the Gemara says, V'hatnan, we learned in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai omrim lo yiftach lo b'neder. He shouldn't initiate with a neder, saying that these are Truma. You should wait for the guy ask you to make the neder first. So the Gemara says, V'tu, and not only that, question number two, Miftachu de lo yiftach lo b'shuva. He shouldn't open up with a Shavua. Ha medar nadar b'shuva. But if he's put in a situation to make a shavua, let's say he's told to make the shavua, he's allowed to. So maybe that's what it means. V'hatanan, but we have a Mishnah also. Beit Shammai Amrim, Beit Shammai says, b'chol nadarin chutz b'shuva. You're allowed to make all these types of neders, but not with a swear. So how can you say over here that he can make a swear if posed to do so, but we said in the Mishnah he can't? So these are the two questions the Gemara has. So the Gemara says, tanna matnitin b'neder. The Mishnah taught by a case of a neder that you shouldn't initiate, lo diacha kochan de Beit Shammai, to teach us the strength and the power of the opinion of Beit Shammai, who says that even with a neder you shouldn't initiate. And then in the Beraita, Tana Beraita Bishvua, the Beraita was teaching us that you shouldn't, you according to Beit Hillel, you can initiate with the Shivua, to teach us lo diacha kocho de Beit Hillel, to teach us the power and strength of Beit Hillel, who says that even with a Shivua, you are allowed to initiate. So that's why in the Mishnah it taught about the Neder, and in the Gemara it taught about the Shivua. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how that answers the second question that we said that maybe he's not allowed to open up with a shivua, but really Beit Shammai would hold you're allowed to make a shivua if you're posted. But the Gemara didn't answer. Doesn't seem like it answered that. I have to look into that. Tzarech Iyun. Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi says, "Hachi ketane." This is what I was meant to say. Beit Shammai Amrim ein she'ela b'shuva. Beit Shammai is saying you cannot go and annul by a chacham your swear, your shavua. Ubeit Hillel Amrim, Beit Hillel says, yesh ela b'shuva. You are able to go to a chacham and annul your shavua. That would be maybe what their machloket is over here. And maybe according to that opinion, it would answer the questions. Why in the Mishnah? Why in the Beraita it states about shavua, and the Mishnah it doesn't? And why in the Mishnah it said you can't, according to Beit Shammai, you can't make a swear. In the Beraita, it sounded like you maybe could. Because over here, it's really just teaching us that even in a case where a person makes a shivua, he can't go and annul it by a chacham. I mean, that's what it's teaching us. That's what the halacha is, yes. Okay, new Mishnah. Harei netiot ha'elu korban im einan niktzatzot. If a person says that these saplings, these fruit, these plantings should become like a korban, he's taking a neder from them, im einan niktzatzot, if they don't get chopped. So the Gemara says, or talit zo korban, this talit should be a korban, im einan nisrefet, if it does not burn. Yesh lahen pidyon. So in both of these cases, you are able to redeem. You're able to redeem. What does that mean? You're able to redeem it, and you take the object out of kodesh, of its consecrated status. These would make it consecrated. So you take it out of its consecrated status, and the money would become consecrated. That's what it means to redeem it. My initial question, which on this Mishnah, it's stating these two cases, which sound like they're similar to one another. If he says that the fruits, if they don't get cut, or the talit that doesn't light up on fire, in both of these cases, if those don't happen, then they become a korban. So my question is, but these are not the same. In the case of the fruits, it sometimes happens that you cut the fruits, the plantings. It sometimes happens that you don't. So it could be going either or. Whereas by the talit, why would a talit just burn in fire? Right? Yeah, it must be similar to one another. So how does that make sense? The Gemara is going to talk about it. Hare netiot ha'elu korban ad she'iktzitzu. If let's say these saplings are korban, the guy says, until they become chopped. Right? Now he changes his wording. He says, if they don't get chopped, now he says, until they get chopped. Or he says, talit zo korban ad she'tiser. He says, talit is a korban until it gets burned. So, ein lahem pidyon. In this case, there would not be a pidyon, and the Gemara will explain, they would not be able to redeem them. The Gemara will explain, but let's look at the Mefaresh on that right before the Gemara. Ein lahem pidyon le'olam kol zman shelo niktatzu, until they get cut, ve'en yotzin lachulin, they don't go out to be chulin, ela kedushoten, shehen b'kedushat haguf le'olam, ve'en lahem takana olamid, you can never fix them, sh'avilu pida'an, even if you redeem them, chozrot v'kedushot, dekevan da'amar ad she'iktatzu, even if you redeem them, they still kadosh. Why? Since you said until they become cut, ein lahem pidyon le'olam, kol zman shelo niktatzu, mashma de le'olam yu korban ad she'iktatzu. Meaning it has to be a korban until they get chopped. That's what the Mefarash is saying, and there's no way to redeem them. So the Gemara then says, v'litne kedoshot ve'en kedoshot. Why doesn't it just say, these are consecrated and these are not? Why does it have to say, yesh lahem pidyon, there is a way to redeem them, and there's no way to redeem them? Why does it have to word it like that? Right, we said that if he says these fruits, look at the Mefaresh. He says, "Behai lishna bereisha de'echad amar hare perot ha'elu korban im enan niktatzot kedoshot ve'enan kedoshot kedoshot dechal kedusha alayu ve'enan kedoshot deyesh lahem pidyon." He could have just said they are consecrated, but they're really not consecrated in the first case, because they could have said it's consecrated, but if you redeem them, they're not consecrated. In the second case, it must have said they are consecrated because you can't redeem them. Why didn't it word it with the word consecrated? That's what it's talking about. So the Gemara says, "I did the bay limit in the seifa, since it wanted to teach the latter case, ein lahem pidyon, that they don't have a redemption. Tananami resha." So it taught in the earlier case, yesh lahem pidyon. You can redeem in the first case. I mean, it could have said in the first case, really they are kadosh, but they're really not kadosh because you can redeem them. But since it wanted to teach the aspect of redemption, which we wouldn't have learned by the second case, it needed to teach pidyon by the first case as well.
I was in comparison to the other one.
Here, look. The Ran actually explained this very nicely. It's the first long line. Klomar de beseifa lo matzi matne le ein kedoshot. In the seifa, I couldn't have just said they are not consecrated. They have vaday kedoshot ad she'iktatzu. They are for sure consecrated until they are cut. Vechen nami lo matzi tane kedoshot. But it also couldn't have taught that they are consecrated in the latter case. Why? De im ken. If that's the case, have amena de dina de seifa kedina de reisha. I would have thought that the first and the last case are similar. Velema. Come on, we're going to say later on, we're going to see in the Gemara. But so that's why we couldn't have said Kedoshot or Einam Kedoshot, so it must have said Pidyon and not Pidyon, to learn out that lesson. Then the Gemara says, Heichi Nadar, how does he make this neder? So Amar Amemar says, Be'omer im Einan Niktasot Hayom. If he says, if they are not cut, chopped by today, Ve'avar Hayom, Ve'lo Niktasu, and they weren't, that day passed and they weren't cut, that's when his neder would take effect. So the Gemara says, "Im ken lamele the meimar." If that's the case, what's the chidush here? Right, the Mefarash says, "The chal kedusha alayu," that the kedusha, the consecration, takes effect. Kivan de'avar ayom niktatzu. His neder took effect. He made a neder. These will become kadosh if I don't cut them by the end of the day. He didn't cut them; they become kadosh. So the Gemara says, "Pshita." It's obvious. So the Gemara answers, "Lo tzricha kegon de'ika zika nefisha." No, the case is over here. We're talking about a case where there's very strong winds. Why does that matter? So he thinks that with these strong winds, it's going to get cut off, it's going to get chopped, these plantings. And I would have thought to say that maybe he didn't actually gomer bilibo think that really it'll get cut, but really no. So the Gemara is teaching us that really in that case, since it's possible they would have gotten cut from the strong winds, then it's as if that's what his intention was when he said it. Here, look at the Mefarish. Sheminashevet ruach kasheh ba'olam demasika da'atei demitbar lehu zika dehainu niktatzot. The wind will blow it down, that's what he thinks. V'salkadat hachamin, I would have thought to say, lo gamar v'libu laktisho. He didn't think to actually consecrate it. Ela adata demitbar, unless it gets cut, lehu zika, unless the wind blows it down. Amar hachi, velo tzrichi lepidyon delo chal alayu kedusha, kecholin dami, kamashmalan dechal kedusha alayu lahekdesh gamor mitkaven. Really, it's considered 100% consecrated, no matter what. So therefore, in this case, that's what I would have thought, and that's why it is kadosh. So the Gemara says, v'ha ketani lagabeg talit. But we taught this case similar to the case of the talit. And the case of the talit, v'talit l'srifa kaima. Is a talit common to have fire just burn? That's not common. So why would you just say, oh, the case is talking about a strong wind? Why are you making a case that maybe not be the actual case? So the Gemara says, no, it actually is the case. It says, kegon de'ika dleka. It's talking about a case where there's a fire nearby and we're afraid it's going to burn. So that's why he says such a thing. Hachinami, so too in this case, de'ika zika nefisha. It's talking about a case where there's very strong winds that he thinks are going to blow down the saplings. So the Gemara says, vesal kadatach. He thinks the masika daate the lomit natzilan that they're not going to be saved; they're going to get chopped down. Umishumachi kan nadar. We think that maybe that's why he made such a neder, and maybe we think they wouldn't become kadosh. When it says kamashmalan, that's why it's coming to teach us that no, even in that case, the kedusha actually does take effect on them. I would have thought it doesn't because maybe he's not actually intending for them to become kadosh. When it comes to teach us that no, really he does intend for them to become kadosh because there's a strong wind and there's a fire nearby, so that's why this neder takes effect. And what he says, that if he says these don't get chopped, or this does not, this talit does not light on fire, so they would both take effect to have kedusha. We'll stop there, we'll do a quick 1 minute recap. We started on the Amud Bet, for the new Mishnah, we started talking about different types of nidir onasin, of neders, of unexpectedness. And then we said the concept in the Gemara called Dina de Malchuta Dina, which is part number two. Really going through, you have to keep the law of the land. And we're asking how this is possible. And we're talking about a case where it's a very specific case where the tax collector was somebody who was not prescribed to go and collect taxes. Case number three of the daf was, we said that dvarim shebalev einan dvarim. If a person just thinks something, it doesn't count. But we said by ones, if somebody is unexpected and something happens, him thinking actually does count in his case of ones. Number four, we said that the difference between our Mishnah and the Baraita. Why in the Mishnah it had Neder, and the Baraita talked about Shavua. And we gave two answers. One, either it was coming to teach us in the Mishnah, the Koach of Beit Shammai, and the Gemara, the Koach of Beit Hillel, or the opinion of Rav Ashi, that really it was coming to teach us that Beit Shammai is saying you can't even annul a Shavua by a Chacham, and Beit Hillel is saying you can annul a Shavua by a Chacham. Part number five, which is the Amud Bet of the Daf, was all different types of Nidarim. This is from the Mishnah, Nidarim with condition. He says these plantings, if they get cut, they will all be a sur. They're a korban if they don't get cut, and this talid should be a korban, should be a neder from it if they don't. It doesn't burn, and we explained in the Gemara that it's talking about a case that both of them, by the case of the saplings, they is a strong wind, so he thinks it's going to blow it down, and by the case of the talid, there's a fire nearby, so he thinks it's going to burn, and that's why if it doesn't happen, those would both become kadosh, they would both become consecrated. Okay, Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.